Father Amon mentioned earlier, that first reading is about poor Job. You probably have heard of the sufferings of Job and how Satan tried to tempt him into turning against God. Satan saying, well, when everything was going right in his life, of course he loves God and all, but let things go wrong and see if he turns against God. And Job did maintain his allegiance to the Lord, though it was tough for him, as we heard in that first reading, as he did some lamenting as he was going through some very severe sufferings. I'd like to contrast what Job writes in that reading. He says, if in bed I say, when shall I arise? Then the night drags on. One problem Job had was the friends who were supposed to help him didn't really help him. I'd like to contrast Job's experience as he's laying in bed lamenting with one of our parishioners who wrote a sharing to her small Christian community. She just wanted to let them know what they meant to her. And we're doing sign-ups for small Christian communities today. And sometimes people say, well, what are they about? And I think this member of one of our small Christian communities summarizes it, what it really means. She writes, I want to thank each of you for all your prayers, concern, and phone calls during my recent surgery and when I was hospitalized again in December. I want you to especially know that when I was in the operating room, the last thing I saw before I was put to sleep was the clock on the wall. It read 7:30 a.m. I knew at that moment that everything was going to be okay, because I knew that you were all at the 7:30 Mass at Ascension praying for me. I cannot convey to you how much that meant to me. It was your prayers that helped me get through the surgery, and you all know how concerned and worried I was. I want you to know how much I appreciate the meals that were prepared for me upon my return home. I also want you to know how wonderful it is to have you all as my friends, and most especially as my family here in Florida. I am so blessed to be a member of such a wonderful small Christian community who are good friends and who are always concerned about each other, helping each other, and praying for each other. I couldn't be more blessed. You too can have this opportunity. At the end of your pews are cards, either this color or green. If you would kindly, if they're next to you, just pass them down, and there were some pencils there too. And you'll have an opportunity to fill this out. We're asking you to consider the 6 weeks of Lent. Many people will look for something extra to do in Lent. This might be a good way of doing something special for Lent. Small communities will meet once a week for the 6 weeks, about an hour and a half at a time. It's okay if you fill out the card while I'm talking. People say, do you get distracted like when people look at their watches while you're talking? I said, no, that doesn't bother me. It's just when they take them off and shake them. But you're allowed to write all you want here. And you have a lot of those numbers. The more of those little times you can meet, you're available, the easier it is to place you in a group. So, and you can put these in the collection, or there's a table in the vestibule. You can leave them after Mass. Those of you who are already in a small Christian community, you don't need to fill one of these out, okay? You're already in it. Could you just raise your hand if you're already in a small Christian community? All right, if you'd like to know more about what goes on in a small Christian community, ask any of those people with their hands up. Basically, it's nothing exotic. We take these Sunday scripture readings, which sometimes can be challenging, like that first reading from Job. You need to understand it in its context. And thankfully, Father Amon every week writes an excellent commentary on the scripture readings for the upcoming Sunday. And it's connecting them to our life, particularly some of the hard parts of life, like things like suffering. I remember in our own the small Christian community I'm in, one of the members lost a child, and it was having a very difficult time with that. We couldn't take the pain away, the suffering away, but I still remember one of the other members of the small community shared her experience with that same suffering, that she had lost a son in a tragic car accident. And she shared this story. Weeks before the accident, she had a statue of Mary that got broke, and she sent it away to be repaired and forgot about it. The day that she got the call that her son was killed in a car accident was the day that the statue came back repaired. And she said when she opened the box up, terribly in distress and pain, and she saw Mary's statue there, she made the connection and she felt the Lord's support, especially through the intercession of Mary, because her son was also 33 years old when he was killed. That's the kind of prayer and sharing. It isn't just always sharing head knowledge, and it isn't taking away people's pain or whatever, but there is something that happens in the sharing of our stories. Poor Job was not able to be in a small Christian community or even in a community that would support him. One of the things that added to his suffering at the time was the belief that if you suffered, you must deserve it. And so his friends, so-called friends, came to console him. The way they consoled him was saying, Job, what did you do wrong? And poor Job was innocent. We have similar understandings of suffering today. You may have heard the term karma. It means if you do something, you're going to have an automatic reaction in your life. Some of you may remember John Lennon's song, Instant Karma is Going to Get You. It lacks mercy and forgiveness and sees suffering, even sufferings from previous lifetimes that we're paying for. But Jesus came to teach a much deeper understanding of suffering. Not saying that some suffering we don't bring on ourselves. If we smoke for 50 years, guess what? But some suffering happens to us that it's innocent suffering. It's part of the human condition. Father Amon's got an excellent article in the bulletin this week that looks at possible understandings of suffering. Jesus, in his ministry, when he was healing people, like we heard today, one time he healed a man who was born blind. And the people came to him and they said, who sinned, this man or his parents? They thought even we passed the sins on to our kids and they're suffering. And Jesus said, neither. It's for the glory of God. And Jesus ultimately taught us that suffering isn't always something we deserve or we've earned, that there is such a thing as innocent suffering by his own suffering. Who could be more innocent than Jesus who takes on suffering? Father Henry Nouwen has a wonderful book called The Wounded Healer. And the thesis of his book is that suffering can, it doesn't necessarily do this, but it can make us more sensitive to other people's suffering. That we can heal each other out of our own woundedness. That by going through suffering, we can become compassionate, or we can become hardened and cold. I've seen this so many times. I know, just talking about my own small Christian community, what people have shared, one man in our community had heart problems. And through going through several heart surgeries himself, he decided to join a group called the Mended Hearts. And they would offer to go and talk to anybody who was going to have heart surgery to help them know what it's going to be like. But out of their own experience, their own suffering, to reach out to others. We have someone who's a cancer survivor and goes down to the Melbourne Auditorium once a year and joins hundreds and hundreds of other cancer survivors to help them carry on. We started yesterday an Al-Anon group here in the parish, people who are suffering from the addiction of alcohol and their families, of helping to support each other, not taking the problems away, but sharing in the struggle. Job, later on in the book of Job, cries out to God, says, please send me a mediator, some help. And God does answer him, and Job is healed. But ultimately, all of us Jobs, God answered his prayer by sending us himself, the ultimate wounded healer, our Lord Jesus, who entered into our human condition, who entered into human suffering in order to overcome it, and ultimately to overcome the greatest human frailty, death, by going through it. Overcome by it, because our Lord has showed us a way to go through it rather than around it. But we don't go through it alone. We go through it with him and with the community. In a couple of weeks, we'll be starting Lent, a penitential season, when we will take on some mortification, some chosen suffering, not for its own sake, but hopefully to sensitize ourselves to the suffering of others. Many of us are getting it today, whether we want it or not. When we look at our retirement funds, just as poor Joe learned that he couldn't put his trust in physical things, but needed to ultimately trust in the Lord. During Lent, we fast. We go hungry, not just for its own sake, but so that we might be more sensitive to those in the world who go hungry, not by choice, but by necessity. My prayer for you is that during this season of Lent that will be starting soon, and all seasons, and through whatever sufferings may come your way, that you do not become hardened by them, but that you become a more compassionate person and ultimately maybe a wounded healer. And also that maybe whatever sufferings comes your way, you do not have to bear alone. That like the woman in a small Christian community, you'll find true friends, not like Job's friends, to assist you to carry on, not to take the burden off, but to carry it with you.
I want to thank Deacon Michael for overseeing our small Christian community ministry here, which I really feel good about. I read the other day that there are 37,000 small groups in our church in this country. Not all of them gathered around the Sunday readings, but the, you know, other kinds of reflections, like we have a Just Faith group and other kinds of reflections. But it's a wonderful thing, so consider it as certainly as a Lenten exercise. So at this time, we invite those of you who are in our initiation process to please come forward. You won't mind me doing this, but one of our RCI persons is really going through a lot of health issues, Dave here. So Dave, just come forward here and just reach out a hand as we pray over Dave. We thank you, Lord, for Dave. We thank you for his relationship with you and for his desire to grow. In many ways, he's like Job today, Lord, hit just with his health and other issues. And I just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come upon him and strengthen him, and bring him hope and healing. And we send forth all of these brothers and sisters now to continue to reflect on your holy word, and we look forward to the day when they can share with us at the table of the Lord.
We send you with God's blessing.
We send you with God's blessing.
Proclaim the word of God.
Proclaim the word of God.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, his only Son of God, begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, one in being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us, for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he was born of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. On the third day he rose again in fulfillment of the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
He will
come again in glory to judge the living and the dead.
His kingdom has
no end. Even the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead
and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Having listened to God's holy word, we now bring to him our prayers of intercession for our church, our world, and our local needs.
In our second reading today, Paul says, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel for us, the people of God, that we may never be afraid to witness to Christ by word and deed."
We pray to the
Lord, hear our prayer.
In the gospel, Jesus heals the sick and casts out demons. For doctors, nurses, and caregivers, for all who visit the sick and pray with them. On this International Day of Prayer for Autism, we remember all who suffer from autism. We also pray for all who live and work with autistic people.
We pray to the Lord,
hear our prayer.
In the gospel, Jesus begins with his day with prayers, that we may follow the example of Jesus. For God's blessing on our small Christian communities that gather weekly to reflect on God's holy word.
We pray to the
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our government leaders, that they may put politics aside and put together a stimulus package that will successfully help our economy. For all who have recently lost their jobs and homes,
we pray to the
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who are dying at this time, that they may have the grace of a peaceful death. For all who have died recently, especially Stanley Rizwi, that they may now be enjoying the gift of everlasting life with Jesus,
buried in the saints. We pray to the
Lord, hear our prayer.
That God listen to the prayer we hold in the privacy of our hearts.
Loving and caring God, hear these our prayers. Fill us with your healing power and strengthen us, that we may be able to fight the powers of darkness and lift up the downcast. And this we pray through Christ our Lord.
We invite the children to bring their gifts of support to the parish and their gifts for the poor forward to the baskets at this time. Let us sing, "Eye Has Not Seen," number